You're listening to Inside the Village, where all news is local and no topic is off limits.
So help me, Bob, it's Bully in the Alley.
Back for another episode of Inside the Village across the Village Media Network and wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm Scott Sexsmith. Thanks for joining us this week. Michael Friscalanti is here, editor-in-chief here at Village Media, as is Derek Turner, executive producer of the show. Great to be back with everybody. Excited about today's show. Jerry D is our guest.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to the conversation.
I know you've been working hard to get in, Jerry. Come on, it's been years.
Well, you know... Fair comment. It has been a while, but he's busy, right? I mean, he's got Family Feud Canada. He's got all kinds of commitments, and it's not like, you know, I just sent him a text and say, you know, hey, Jer, what are you doing on Friday? You know, it just doesn't happen. But we've connected the dots. We found some time, and we're going to spend some of that with a very funny gentleman.
Yes.
He's on tour, by the way, across most of Ontario, parts of Western Canada, plays Massey Hall on the 10th of May and then in Sault Ste. Marie on May the 11th. We'll get into all that.
Aurelia, too, right?
And yes. Yeah. The Aurelia Opera House,
yes.
If I recall. And his new book, Funny You Should Say That, which is actually the name of the tour. Okay, we'll get into that in a bit. Let's get into what we want to talk about, Aurora Today, another news site is launching and it's on the horizon.
It's like a monthly occurrence.
It really is.
Been launching like crazy. Aurora Today, we're super excited. Going to be a sister site of Newmarket Today, which is there, and all of our sites in neighboring Simcoe County. This will be our 25th.
I always get it wrong.
I know. I have to count
them. And we shouldn't.
I actually go to the bottom of the website and count each one when I do like the, hey, welcome to, when I write the piece welcoming everybody. But it's our 25th. We've been expanding so much, even just in the 2 years I've been here. It's very exciting because it's another site in York Region. And Deb Kelly, our fantastic editor in Newmarket, is going to be overseeing the launch in Aurora. So May 28th is the big day. I'm pretty sure you can get on now and sign up for the newsletter. Let me double check that, Scott.
All right, do that.
But
this is a real time behind the scenes.
Yeah, this is really...
The audience generally isn't privy to this kind of...
It's true.
We're just going to say.
There you go. AuroraToday.ca. Welcome to the future home of AuroraToday.ca. You can sign up now for the free daily newsletter that comes every day at 3 p.m. in your inbox. This is coming off the heels of us launching lately in Milton, in Flamborough. We recently acquired Oakville News, and our team is now Oakville News. So we've just been growing like crazy, and the feedback's been wonderful. We're telling amazing local stories. We're going to talk about some of them now.
All right, we are. Sign up for the email. And when you're there, and this is a shameless plug, there's also another great email called The Plus Side, which you'll want to opt into. It comes out every Friday. You're going to love it. All right, let's get to the first word to Frisco. And we're going to start with the Guinness record holder for the most lost elections. And a great story. Tell us about it.
Now, speaking of Milton, which is our latest launch.
Right.
And just for the record, they're doing fantastic work every day. We've talked about how we have veteran reporters and editors there who have been in the community for a long time, and they just hit the ground running doing fantastic work. Now, this story from Bam Bang Sadeo, he talked about they mentioned it to me before they started that there's this guy who has run in like more than 100 elections, either municipal or provincial by-elections,
crazy,
different elections, all over Ontario and parts of Nova Scotia. And he's never come close. And now he's running in the Milton by-election, which of course is on May 2nd. And so they said, well, maybe we'll try to get a hold of this guy. And that's a great story. Let's do it. And so Bam got in touch with him, and the story is wild. And it turns out, and people up here in the Sioux remember now because he ran in the Sioux, the by-election that sent MPP Ross Romano to Queen's Park for the first time.
Right.
But he's been all over the place. The interview is fantastic. Yeah, I think he's lost 108 elections. He has the Guinness records. And his main platform is he wants to introduce an interest-free banking system.
Nice.
Which I would have thought he'd maybe get a few more votes.
You would think.
But I think he got 47 in the Sioux when he ran. So he's driving all the way up here. But he says it is his duty as an engineer to run in as many elections as he can to try to get in there, and that I guess he honestly believes Milton's going to be the place. But it's a great story, and it got a lot of attention across the chain because, of course, everybody started Googling him and realized, well, he ran in my community too. So he's been all over the place.
Struck out 108 times.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But Milton,
Milton, yeah.
This is the one.
May 2nd. Not that we're endorsing it. We're not endorsing
no,
this candidate.
No,
May 2nd.
Do not mistaken that as an endorsement.
But we do endorse democracy, so get out there and vote.
You're May damn 2nd. Right we do. All right, let's head to Newmarket and reporter Joshua Santos and a beautiful story about a five-generation family.
Yeah, this is one of those stories where the photograph just you stare at the picture. It was a beautiful photo. It was about a family who, five generations, the new baby was born in the hospital. So in the photo, Scott, you had a great-great-grandmother, a great-grandmother, a grandmother, a mother, and then this baby boy. So it wasn't a girl.
Yeah.
It was four women and then the baby boy. But just an amazing story. And what Josh did is he talked to the great-great-grandmother and went down memory lane and just reminisced about how much things are different now with the baby being born than it was when she's, you know, end of the war and all the guys who are away fighting and what it was like to raise her kids in that era. And it was just – it was a fantastic piece, just really well done. It wasn't just, hey, here's this great photo of this family. How crazy is that? Yeah. It was, let's go back in time and really reminisce with this lady. It was fantastic.
All right. And finally, to Sault Ste. Marie, in a very sentimental video of a restaurant, No More.
Yeah, this is one of those stories as an editor, you can't hear enough about it, right?
Yeah.
So this is a great example of sort of how the sausage is made, how stories come together. We were in the office here and Eric Moss, who works in our tech side, just walked in and said, oh, they're taking the Muyo's sign down. And for people who don't live in the Sioux, Muyo's is that landmark restaurant in town. Like every town has one. This one's been around for decades. Everybody ate there. Everybody has fond memories of this downtown establishment. It closed during the pandemic. The building was sold and it's been empty for a couple of years. And so people are kind of wondering what's going to happen. David Helwig at Sioux Today broke the news a few months back that there's a tenant. They're going to open like an Asian fusion restaurant. And they wrestled with what to do with the sign. And that day they were taking it down. So Drew Armstrong rushes out there with his video and records what I have to say is one of the most sentimental, like 80-second videos you'll ever see. Just them sawing down like the you know, using the tools to take down this sign and watching it come down. And I can tell you so many people in the Sioux watched it and got teary-eyed because this is like that corner of the street landmark. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? And you don't have to live here to understand what that is, right? That restaurant or that place that everybody knows. So the sign comes down, Drew records it coming down, records it on the ground, and hears from somebody there, tells him, well, it's going to go to the museum across the street, right? So we get the video up, and then Darren Taylor, our reporter here at Sioux Today, does a follow-up story about how this sign came to – where it's going to go and the story behind how it ended up from going off the building to the museum. And long story short, the museum director just happened to be across the street. He's like, hey, what's going on here? And he ran over and he asked if the sign company, well, can I have the sign for the museum because it's so historic? And then the new tenant who's from out of Canada, he's a newcomer to the country, just learning about the history of the building, says, well, sure, yeah, we'll give you that. So, and then the son of one of the original owners who's now in his 70s was crying watching the video, contacted us. And there's actually – it's a corner sign. So there's two sides, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So the museum's taking one and they gave the other one to this son of the original – one of the original owners, right? So Darren weaved together how this all came together, which just added to the story as well. And you know the way it is, right? When there's something like that happens in your community that's such a well-known place or a well-known person, you can't read enough about it. You just want to keep going, right? And just so happens that today we're recording – what's today? The 25th?
25th, yeah.
They're opening – the grand opening's at 3 o'clock. There's a ribbon cutting with the mayor and we have another video going up from Drew who spent some time inside the restaurant giving people kind of a sneak peek of what's going to happen. And again, I know it's easy for us to say because we're sitting in Sault Ste. Marie, but this story could be happening anywhere. It's just
of course.
It's that place that's been around forever that everybody knows.
And Muyo's, was it home of the world's best broasted chicken?
Broasted chicken, yeah.
And I remember when we first moved here, I was like, what is broasted? I'd never heard of broasted chicken.
Yeah, it was pretty good, though.
World famous.
It was pretty good.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. The first word to Frisco. Okay, today on the show, funny you should say that. Canadian comedian Jerry D., more than just Canadian. I mean, he is Canadian, but he's world famous now. His show, Mr. D, which wrapped up in 2018. Now you can get all over the place, Netflix, Prime in the U.S. He's on tour, new book, and he's going to join us today.
Oh, it's going to be a great interview. You know, everybody knows Jerry from the Mr. D. It was one of those shows. And everyone who has relatives who are teachers, they all get a good laugh out of it because he was able to say things on the show that obviously a lot of teachers can't say at the time.
Yeah.
And he's a really a funny guy. And he's on tour. He's coming to a lot of the communities that we're in. So it'd be great to chat with him.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. And we'll do it next with Jerry D. when ITV returns after this.
Reporters, editors, and journalists who go the extra mile to get the story and get it right. Go behind the scenes with those who cover the stories that matter most to you and your community. Look for it in the Village Features section of your favorite Village Media website across Ontario.
I was drowning in debt, feeling hopeless. Then Ontario-wide Financial turned my life around. Ontario-wide cleaned up my credit and gave me the help I needed. Now I'm starting fresh. Don't wait. Your fresh start is just a call away.
I'm awesome. No, you're not, dude. Don't lie. I'm awesome. I'm driving around in my mom's ride. I'm awesome. A quarter of my life gone by.
We're back on Inside the Village, the theme song, of course, that you heard coming back from commercial, the long-running theme to the CBC show, Mr. D, which ran for 8 seasons, of course, now available on Netflix, CBC Gem, and soon to be available on Prime Video in the U.S. We are very excited to have with us the star of the show and current host of Family Feud Canada Plus, author and comedian, and we'll get into all of that stuff with Jerry D. Jerry, great to have you on Inside the Village today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Mr. D wrapped back in 2018 or so. Do you miss it?
Yeah. I miss it a lot. It was a lot of great memories. You know, my kids grew up on that show, and we spent some great time in Halifax as a family. And, you know, it's a lot of memories with great, great cast and crew. And I miss the acting. Family Feud Canada is a blast, but it's, you know, I'm not really acting, and I love doing both. So hoping to get my teeth back into the acting world soon, and as far as creating shows, and that's kind of what I'm working on outside of this comedy tour I'm doing.
So you mentioned working with your kids, and of course all three have been on the show, but Faith and Amanda Susan were two recurring roles. Breton also appearing as John in the season finale. What was it like working with your kids, and what would your kids say it was like working with Dad?
I don't know if I could answer for them, but I think they would say they liked it. My son was very young. We just, you know, we popped him in a couple scenes, true nepotism, of course. And, you know, my daughters, Amanda Susan, played by my oldest daughter, was quite a popular character. And we gave her some big roles, and she handled it amazingly for a 7, 8, 9-year-old at the time she did it. And then Faith, Faith is probably part of our biggest viral clips, you know, with the lesbian clip and the rocket ship, and those took off worldwide. So they were great. It, you know, for me, it was a chance to spend a good 6 to 8 hours with them while I worked. And that was always the best part, right? They would come into set a lot of days when they weren't, but those were special days for me when I got to hang with them all day.
So both of our daughters are teachers, and we would always watch Mr. D as a family, and always point out to them that when you're a teacher, you can't do that stuff that Mr. D is doing. You're a former high school gym teacher, so how much of Jerry, the real life gym teacher, came out at Xavier High?
Yeah, the first few seasons, a lot was, I think he's got the next question. I think that's what that means.
I got a question. So you just gave away a trade secret.
Yeah, that's all. That's all I have, Jerry. It's my one move.
I want to ask a question.
Normally, he just kicks me under the table.
The truth is, we don't prep at all for this, Jerry.
You're
so we're going on a whim here.
I could see you. The first few seasons was a lot of stories based on me, my colleagues. We're kind of, the show was about saying what teachers wish they could do, and we did it. It wasn't like those are things I did. You know, there's exaggeration. Obviously, there were a lot of those things I wanted to do, and we did it. You know, that was the difference. But after season 4, I started to rely more on friends that were teachers, their stories, the news, things in the news with teaching. I'd kind of run out of my own personal experiences for the most part after 4 seasons. So it was a bit of a combination of both.
Here, this is the question I was going to ask.
Go ahead. The floor is yours.
This will be the question. I've looked at Scott's question. My question is better than all these questions.
Good.
It's way better. So how often did you run into old students after the show became a hit? Did you see them on the streets walking around? What did they say to you?
Yeah, I see. I think I probably don't see as many as, I mean, obviously there's probably 1,000 kids I taught in that 10 years. So some liked me, some hated me, some, you know, it was a bit of everything. And the ones that hated me, I probably hated too. So it just, you can't really say that as a teacher at the time, but it would make our jobs easier if we could say, like, I don't like you. So let's just stay, keep our distance. But I think a lot of them I've run into over the years. I mean, you know, I'm 55. The students I taught are 47 now. Mm-hmm. You know, you're 24. Like, you become friends kind of with some of them. Like, I've got guys that I, you know, I might play pickup hockey with. And it's just the way it is, right? And you keep in touch. So a lot of them now, they only know me as their teacher. And that's kind of when I'm with them. That's what I like. It's not like Jerry D, the comedian or the actor. It's This was my teacher. And that was the, you know, those are the kids that I really, really connected with, that I keep in touch with. And I'm sure there's a lot out there that, you know, I know some have told their coworkers that guy taught me and they don't believe it. And there's a lot of those stories, I'm sure, as well.
Oh, that's my only question for the interview.
Is that it's all done? Yours. Did you, yours. Do you want to leave?
No.
Good question. It's a good question.
How would you rate it, Jerry?
You went out on a high. Yeah. You went out on a high. Yep. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I get paid to ask questions, which is kind of scary, but take it away, Scott.
All right. So Toronto guy, born in Scarborough. What part, by the way? I grew up at McCowan and Finch. Whereabouts were you?
Well, I lived there a lot. I was two. Okay. I was in Agincourt, so Shepherd and something.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know. We weren't there long. It's when my parents emigrated from Scotland. They landed in Scarborough. My brother and sister were already born from Glasgow, and I was born in Scarborough, and we lived there for 2 years, and then we moved to Willowdale, which is not far.
Right. So your dad drove transit, I think, for the TTC for about 20 years. You went to St. Gabriel's and then later York and St. Effects. So how does a guy go from studying kinesiology and athletic therapy to being a comedian? How did that happen?
It's a long answer to that, but I was starting to find that I was getting funny in my circle of friends and coworkers at 20, probably 25, 24, you know, graduated from X. I was kind of like a chirpy guy and not like, you know, I would never, but it always in the back of my mind thought, I'd seen some stand-up comics once and I were in Canada and at a local club. And I thought that wasn't great. I could probably do that, but I don't know. I don't know why I had this thought in my head that I could do it. And the first thought was 92 and I didn't start to 99. And that's how long it took. And it really was another waiter at the Keg when I was working at the Keg that was doing amateur nights. And I think I mentioned it and he encouraged me to go up and I did. And it helped having that camaraderie with someone that was going through this battle, because it is a battle when you start. And we kind of bonded that way. And I went up, I bombed terribly the first time. And I think the athletic sort of person in me wanted the competitive side of me wanted to not be, that was the end result. And a guy in the crowd, another comic, shouted out a comment that said, stick to teaching. And I remember that comment stuck with me. Like, it was one of those moments, like, seriously. And I just didn't like, and in the back of my mind knew I could do it, I guess. And then I kept going. And by the third or fourth night, I got like one laugh in 10 minutes. So it was, I don't know. It was the self-belief that I could keep going. Most people probably would have quit. But every comic for the most part struggles at the beginning. So I obviously glad I stuck it out, but there was something I knew once I could figure out how to translate my comedic ways and my comedic thinking to a public, I would get it. And it was many, many years of up and down. This is too hard, or I'm not funny. And I just, I don't know. I kept battling. I guess I just kept working at it.
You're so well known now in Canada, Jerry. What was the breakthrough moment for you?
You had one question.
I know. I changed my mind. The way this works is I have to carry Scott most of the time, so I'm really trying not to leave him alone here. You know. So I might have been the guy chirping in the audience if I was there, Jerry. But I'll try not to. But I'm just kidding. Scott's great. What was the moment for you when you realized, okay, I actually can make a living doing this? Because obviously, like you said, a lot of people flop trying to do that.
Yeah, and that is a good question. It was in 2003. I was still teaching full time, and I had taken a little bit of a leave to go to this comedy festival in San Francisco. Sorry, this comedy competition in San Francisco, which had been running for 27 years to that point in 2003. And, Dana Carvey, Ellen DeGeneres, Robin Williams, Dane Cook, Louis C.K. Wow. Like, it was a who's who of who had done it.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I got to it, I think the caliber had fallen off a bit. But anyway, I ended up winning it. And it was 3 weeks away from teaching. And I never got paid. And my principal was great. I was at a private school, so we had some freedom. And when I won that, I remember one of the comics, Sam Tripoli, who's still a comic in LA, said, what are you doing, man? Like, you can't still be teaching. And he was right. And I knew I had to go in with 2 feet now. And so I went in and went back to school, and it was May. And I said, look, I'm going to take a sabbatical, like I was some university professor throwing that word around, but I'm going to take a leave here and give it a year. And I moved to LA. It was not a good experience in LA professionally. It was just nothing was happening. And, but I came back and took another year. And by then I was done. It was starting to work. The real answer to that, I was starting to make as much money in comedy as I was teaching.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So once one of my first agents said that, I go, when do you leave? When do I leave teaching? When do I stop working? He goes, you'll know, but it'll be when you can afford it. Mm-hmm. And that's when I could afford it.
And I think to this day, you're still the first and only Canadian to have won that competition.
No, a guy won it after me. I was the first at the time, but okay. A Canadian won it after me. But it's not, look, not to glorify that competition. It certainly wasn't the big a deal when I won it. I could make it like I did. I could make it sound like, yeah, look at all the names that were in it. But when it started, it was truly kind of a groundbreaking thing in San Francisco that, not that it's still, I still proved to myself that I was funny through it. And, there was a lot of comics in it that were great. And it was a crowd voted, and I got lucky in some ways, but it helped me make a decision.
It's pretty impressive, Jerry. You should see what we do to make this show seem bigger than it is.
Yeah, so it's hard work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's, I'm very honest about, like this Sault Ste. Marie show, for example, there's over 1,000 tickets left. Like I don't lie to people. And my manager agent is from Sault Ste. Marie, Jeff Teichman, who's a great guy. And we wanted to try a smaller town. Now the show's still, the show's a month away, but my point is, like, I'm very honest. Like I don't lie to people. It's a great town to do it. I'm very excited. And I know it's still early. Small towns are a little later with stuff. So, but I've had some good results along the way. And sometimes you just, you gotta be honest with yourself. And that was a moment with San Francisco. I don't want to make it sound bigger than it was, right? But it was still pretty cool.
Jerry, you talk about competitions and festivals. I know the Montreal Just for Laughs Comedy Festival is a big one, and you've certainly appeared there. How hard was it to hear about the cancellation?
I think it was, how hard was it? I mean, for me, Just for Laughs was about small opportunities for Canadian comics, which I always appreciated. But as I got bigger and better known, I realized, it was, let's highlight some very big American comics. They're the draw, and I get it. It didn't launch my career in any way, but it was certainly a nice little feather in my cap to do it. Disappointed when it ended. you know, because it's just been such a great part of the comedy community. I wish there had been more to expose Canadian comics at a higher level. We kind of got the smaller sort of opportunities, you know, again, which I got because I still deal with that now, right? If you're not an American comic, nobody really, you know, is excited, right? You might be funnier, and there's a lot of comics in Canada the two of you have never heard of that are extremely funny, but they just, we don't have that system here that, you know, promotes it. So we like to bring in the big Americans, and we kind of forget sometimes we have some really funny people here, and they often get recognized when they move to LA. And I chose to not do that. And I've been very lucky and fortunate, but Just for Laughs was certainly a fun thing to do, but it wasn't like what got me where I am.
Jerry D is our guest on Inside the Village. I want to talk about the book and the tour, and we'll do that in a couple of minutes. One of the best bits, I think, Jerry, that I've seen you do is the world's greatest sports reporter interview segments for The Score. A few times you've interviewed the likes of Charles Barkley, Sir Charles, and, of course, Wayne Gretzky. Do you still keep in touch with those guys at all?
Oh, yeah. I was out for lunch with Gretz. No. No, I don't like Wayne Gretzky knows who I am. We've crossed paths in a few different.
And he knows your middle name.
He might not know. I don't even know if he knows my first and last name anymore, but, they were great. Wayne's always been great to me when I've seen him, always very complimentary. You know, and Charles, I have not seen, I did another interview with him after that, but, I think Charles would remember me if with a little nudge. But that interview was special, with two such iconic athletes, you know, grew up idolizing Gretz as Gretzky as you guys did. And it was a pretty cool moment for me.
All right, let's get to the book. Funny you should say that, which by the name, by the way, is also the name of the tour that you're currently on. And we'll talk about that. Going through the book, Jerry, I love the chapter when celebrities golf, especially what you had to go through to get that appearance fee. And then the guy who couldn't make the show and wanted you to look after selling his tickets.
Yeah, the celebrity event was... probably one of the more humbling moments. I got hired to be a celebrity when I wasn't a celebrity and I knew I wasn't, but they offered me $1,000 to just come golf and mingle. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like I was making 700 bucks a week, you know, clearing 700 bucks a week teaching at the time. And this guy was offering me $1,000 to just come golf. So it was a dream gig, but turned out to be a disaster because, you know, he eventually, I was a last minute addition, which they made very clear, ended up being in a group with Mike Gardner, who was the celebrity because no one really wanted me as their celebrity and, struggled to get the $1,000. And, the guy, for whatever reason, he kind of said at one point, well, look, let's be honest. Like when I was chasing $1,000 because they didn't have it on the day, he said, let's be honest, you're not a celebrity. Like, and that stuck with me too. And, about 8 years later, he was in an audience where I was the headliner. I was the, you know, the special guest at a head table with a bunch of celebrities. And I told that story and, you know, to his credit, he came up and said, I deserve that.
Did he give you the money?
I deserve that. And I got the money. Oh, I got the money. But it was, okay. He had to get that little dig in, like, you know, here's your money, but you're not a celebrity. Let's be honest. When they hired me as a celebrity, the other one was a guy wanted a refund on his tickets. Cause he had a holiday he forgot about. And, it was just funny to me, like, that's being a Canadian celebrity. You can just email me and ask for refunds.
But the beauty,
I don't know a lot of venues that can do that.
Yeah.
The beauty of that story, and I know you've got a question you want to get
to. I felt bad now that I didn't have a question when you looked at me last.
But you actually answer your own emails. You're not a guy that has a publicist or an assistant or a trainer. And when you send an email through your site to contact us, you're the guy that responds.
A lot of times, I mean, people take that to heart when they read that in my book. It's not always me, but a lot of times I will try to answer people, especially if it involves kids. I try my best. they asked me to do cameo and all that. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to have to do like pretend, but I try to help. I know I'm very fortunate to be a name, and I always promised myself that if I ever was a name, I would try to give back in ways I could. So I try to do little things but I will answer my own emails. Yeah. A lot of times I'll do that.
It must be nice in a way too, being the celebrity you are. You're well known, but you must be able to walk around and not get mobbed all the time. People don't always recognize you, I assume.
I don't know why you had to remind me of that, but sure. A lot of times people do not recognize me. Yes, that is correct. I do not. That's a bit of a, I don't know what that was meant to be, but yeah. No, I don't always get recognized. I can live a normal life.
Yeah.
And you've just made sure more people do that now with that question.
Well, it's great. No, I'm kidding. It's great. But Scott, it's terrible. If he just goes outside the building, he's mobbed. So it's nice that you're able to live that way.
It's not true.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that didn't make me feel any better, but yeah. I'm okay with it.
Hey, you're a well-known guy, Jerry. That's good enough.
I'm joking. I get lots of love. I'm very fortunate.
Jerry, in the book, you talk about the importance of family and your wife, Heather, being the test subject of most of your material. I envision you walking around the house doing bits all the time. How does that work? And is it almost like taking your work home with you, or is that the comfort space of having, you know, Heather react honestly?
Well, I don't walk around doing bits. It's nothing like that. I'm just a regular dad and husband when I get home. But Heather's got a great sense of humor. And a lot of times if I do a bit about marriage or her and she's involved, she's always great to let me have fun with it at her expense. You know, she joked once, God, I wish I could go up and talk about you. Like, I'd love to tell the country what you're all about. I said, yeah, do it. But takes you 12 hours to tell a story. So I don't know if people are going to wait for 12 hours to listen to your act, but she's got a great sense of humor and a good eye for humor. Right. And so does her brother. And I've leaned on him a lot. So yeah, it's great having a wife that's supportive like that and also has a sense of humor.
You're currently on tour with stops in Orillia, Windsor, Massey Hall in Toronto, and then you come up here to the Sioux. Is the live stuff what gets you pumped, having that instant gratification when you deliver a punchline?
Yeah. I think live is the best of it all. I love the acting where I'm with another group and more people. I mean, I'm alone in stand-up. But yeah, that instantaneous feedback is the drug that I think brings comedians back. Cause it is a hard gig to start. But when you get one laugh, you're like, there it is. You kind of focus on that one laugh and not the 90 that missed. So, luckily I'm past the point where I don't bomb anymore and I don't get heckled. And, if I do, it's more lighthearted stuff. I have jokes that don't work for sure, but the whole like being on stage for 45 minutes and bombing and sweat dripping down your forehead. I've been through that, those trenches, and I don't miss it at all. So, but the pure stand up, the instantaneous feedback that you are making thousands of people laugh and forget about all the things in their lives for that hour. I like that.
All right. Good stuff. Before we let you go, what's the one thing on your rider that's in your dressing room that nobody would believe?
That I don't have a rider. Oh, that's really something I think shocks people. You know, even Live Nation's like, what do you want in your green room? I'm like, I don't know, maybe coffee and some cookies and fruit. So fruit. That's pretty much it. I physically don't have a rider. Maybe my agent has one, but I don't really have a rider. And I think, I don't even know if people know what it is. I didn't know what it was forever. I'm like, a rider? Like, I'm going to drive myself there. I didn't know what it was, right? So I remember doing a gig with Louis Anderson, rest his soul, who was, you know, I opened for him years ago, probably 04. And he had a green room that had everything. I was like, man, this is cool. He didn't touch any of it. He's just like, yeah, that's what I wanted. And I just fill it with a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm like, and the other thing too about the rider is I pay for the rider. So it's not like it's some magical sort of stuff that shows up, I could put whatever I want in my rider. I'm paying for it. So exactly. I could have 40 bottles of wine and you know, red M&Ms, and I'm paying for it. So I still have that mindset of a teacher that, you know, you work hard and you made the money you made. And so I don't just go squander thousands of dollars on a rider. So that's the honest truth.
All right. Good stuff. The book, funny you should say that, is through HarperCollins and available everywhere. Show tickets, by the way, you can get it to jerryd.com. In the acknowledgement of the book, Jerry, you write, and I quote, "It takes a village, as they say, and my village was supportive, funny, and helpful." You're certainly one of the good ones, Jerry D, and you're welcome inside our village anytime. Thanks for doing this today.
Thanks. That was a lot of fun. Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon, Sister Saint Marie. Bye-bye.
Last year, financial stress had me at my wit's end. I felt trapped and embarrassed that it had gotten so bad. I really felt I had nowhere to turn. That's when I called Ontario Wide Financial. Their home equity lending was a game changer for me. Despite my bad credit and being in a consumer proposal, they helped me get the cash I needed. Thanks to Ontario Wide Financial, I've started this year with hope, not stress. They gave me a fresh start, and they can do the same for you. Ontario Wide Financial, because everyone deserves a second chance.
Reporters, editors, and journalists who go the extra mile to get the story and get it right. Go behind the scenes with those who cover the stories that matter most to you and your community. Look for it in the Village Features section of your favorite Village Media website across Ontario.
Back to wrap on another episode of Inside the Village. That was great having Jerry D.
It's always great because we have a lot of very serious discussions,
yes.
Like some that are very emotional and important, big issues.
Yep.
And then last week we had a great guest talking about the court system and kind of giving us behind the curtain view of how it goes. And then sometimes it's just great to interview a well-known Canadian like Jerry D.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, you more so than me, you're knee deep in death and destruction and devastation, you know, all day, every day. So I sense that a conversation like this had a bit of escapism.
Yeah, for sure. It's awesome. And it's also great because we're all closely linked to teachers. There's so many of them around in our lives. And it's nice to see someone who appreciates the profession, who understands it as a difficult profession, and who can kind of say things on his show and in his comedy that the teachers can't say.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. Again, Funny You Should Say That is the name of the book through HarperCollins. You can get that at your favorite bookstore. And if you'd like to see Jerry in concert, on tour, jerryd.com is where you can get your tickets. All right, that's a wrap for us today. itv@villagemedia.ca if you'd like to reach out to us. And of course, all episodes available wherever you get your favorite podcast. For Derek Turner, executive producer of the show, Michael Friscolanti, editor-in-chief here at Village Media, I'm Scott Sexsmith. Thanks for watching ITV this week.
You've been listening to Inside the Village.
Frisco and Scott's wardrobe provided in part by Moores, Sault Ste. Marie.